Here's a concept that's totally foreign to most people, and that is that you can believe and yet have unbelief at the same time. The key to seeing your answer to prayer is a simplified, purified faith. That's what we're talking about today, so stay tuned.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. So I was talking about, why do you sometimes pray and believe for something and don't see results? Well, one answer is, it's because you aren't believing God. There's a lot of people who ask God to do something out of a sense of need. There's no doubt that they need the intervention of God. They desire the intervention of God, but they aren't believing. They aren't operating in faith, and their actions and their words prove it. So that's one reason. But that's not the only reason. And I think that if that's the only factor that you include, it's just a matter of if you believed God, you'd be healed, you'd be delivered, you'd be set free. If that's the only way that you represent God, then there's going to be a lot of very sincere people who really believe God and are believing and standing in faith and yet don't see the manifestation of what they're praying for. And they're going to be put off and offended, and they're going to say that, well, you're condemning, and in many cases that would be true. And so there's a large segment of the body of Christ that, because they've only heard this one answer, that if you haven't received, it's because you just are not believing God. And they've been put off by that, and so they reject the whole thing that it is God's will to heal, because they see some people who've been condemned and made to feel like they're a second-class Christian because they hadn't seen a manifestation of their healing or whatever. Let me give you, here's an example that hopefully this example will make clear my point. You know, I've been ministering for a long period of time. I've seen God do some wonderful things, including seeing people raised from the dead, my own son included. And the very first person that I ever saw raised from the dead, it was just miraculous. It was awesome. And not long after I had seen this man raised from the dead, I was in Omaha, Nebraska. I was holding a meeting, and there was a man to my left on the front row over here who was in a wheelchair. I didn't know what was wrong with him, but it was obvious that he was in a wheelchair. Something was wrong. And my logic was that I'd just seen God raise a guy from the dead. And if God could raise a person from the dead, certainly He could heal a person in a wheelchair. And so I was preaching, and I was watching this guy, and in my heart, I just felt a desire, a quickening of God to go minister to this guy, and I was fully expecting for this guy to be totally healed. And so after I had had this great experience of seeing a man raised from the dead, I just could hardly wait for me to get through with my message so I could go minister to this guy. So I walked over there. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be whole. And I grabbed this guy by the hand, and I just yanked him out of that wheelchair. And, you know, this was a big guy. He was probably 6'3 or something like that. Of course, he was in a wheelchair sitting down. But when I pulled him out, he was a big guy. And he came up like this and just fell over on his face. And because he was paralyzed, I think he was able to use his arms, but his legs were paralyzed. He couldn't really catch himself. And you know what? He just fell on his face in front of all these people. And when that happened, man, I was humiliated. I turned every shade of red that there was. The people in the room gasped, you know, sucked all the air out of the room. There was just tremendous amount of fear, unbelief, and I didn't know what to do. I grabbed this guy. He was a big man. And I had to grab him and bear hug him and wrestle him and put him back in the chair and say, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. But I didn't give him what he needed. And you know, when I went to my hotel room that night, I was just super confused. And here's the point that I was wanting to make. Some people would say, well, you just didn't have any faith. You know, give me a break. How many of you have grabbed somebody in a wheelchair and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed, and yanked them out of the wheelchair in front of hundreds of people? You know what? You know why I did that? Because I did believe this guy was going to be healed. I knew it was God's will, and I had faith. I was believing God. If you don't believe God, you don't just go up and tell a person you're healed and grab them by the hand and yank them out of that wheelchair. I knew I was believing God. And from my perception, I may be wrong, but it looks to me like, it felt to me like that I had just as much faith operative to get this man out of that wheelchair and to see him healed as I had when I had prayed for the man and seen him raised from the dead. I know what faith is, and I know I was believing God, and yet with the dead man, I saw great results. With the man who was in the wheelchair, I didn't see the right results, and this really confused me. And I was just like these disciples right here in Matthew 17:19. Lord, why couldn't I do it? Why didn't it work this time? And I was confused. Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Now, if I had not believed God and somehow or another I just felt condemned or pressured into it, if the guy was to come forward and say, you're going to pray for me and when you pray, I'll be healed, but I didn't feel any faith, I didn't have any confidence, I didn't have any leading of the Lord, but for whatever reason, I was just forced into it, and if I would have prayed for him and have seen him fall on his face, then I probably wouldn't have been as perplexed, because I would have known that in my heart, I just wasn't believing for it. I didn't have any faith. I didn't feel any quickening of God. But I did. I felt impressed of God. I fully expected this guy to get up and walk out of that wheelchair. There was faith present, and yet my faith didn't get the right results. Now, I know that some of you, this is stretching your understanding. And you're saying, so are you saying that faith doesn't work? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying faith is a powerful force and faith works. And faith must be present in order to see the power of God in manifestation. If you doubt, if you are not going to believe God, then you won't be surprised if you don't see the right manifestation. But here's what I am saying. You can believe God and still not see the right results because of other factors. And that's what these disciples were talking about. They believed God. They had seen demons cast out before. They spoke and acted and did the same things that they had seen work before, but this time it didn't produce the same results, and that's the reason they were surprised. Not because they weren't believing God. They were believing God, and yet they didn't get the same results. Now, why is it? That's the question that they were asking. And look at what Jesus said. Again, let's go back to Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. It says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now, before I go on and read the rest of this, let's just stop right there and think about this. Look at what he did not say. He didn't say it's because you weren't believing. It's because you don't have any faith. It's because your faith is too little. Now, let me just acknowledge something here. If you are reading an NIV, New International Version of the Bible, it says it's because of your little faith. And I'm not here to sit there and criticize and put down a version of the Bible, but I just believe that that is absolutely missing the point. That is not what it says. Because let's just look at this. In verse 20, Jesus said unto them, it's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. He goes on to say, if your faith is only the size of a mustard seed. I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed, but it is tiny, tiny, tiny. If I was holding one up right now, you couldn't see it on camera because it is so tiny. So the point that he's making is, if your faith is only this big, if it's tiny, if it's little, it's still enough to cast a mountain into the sea if you don't doubt in your heart. He couldn't be saying that it's because of your little faith, because then he goes on and talks about how it only takes a minuscule amount of faith to see this great miracle come to pass. So when the NIV says it's because of your little faith, it's just totally missing the point. It's more accurate exactly the way the King James has translated it. Jesus said, it's not because of your little faith. He says, it's because of your unbelief. And many people just immediately say, well, wait a minute. If you've got unbelief, then you don't have faith. Most people have just assumed that if you have faith, you don't have any unbelief. And if you have any unbelief, then you don't have any faith, that they are mutually exclusive. But newsflash, here's one of the great points I'm trying to get across, is that yes, you have to believe God to receive from Him. And if there isn't any faith, then don't be surprised if you don't see a miracle. I agree with that. But it is possible to have faith and yet have that faith negated or canceled by unbelief. In other words, you can have faith and unbelief at the same time. And unbelief can dilute your faith to the point that the faith doesn't produce the desired results. Now that is a radical concept, and that's a concept that most people don't have. Again, most people think, if I really was believing God, I wouldn't have any unbelief over here. That's not so. And I'm going to show you some other scriptures that will also verify this and, verify the point that I'm making right here, that you can believe and yet have unbelief at the same time. And most people haven't thought about this. And so they just think, well, I believed and yet I didn't see the right results. And so I guess it's just I didn't have any faith. Nope. You can have faith, but you can have your faith diluted, counterbalanced, negated by unbelief. And so really, you have to have faith, but once you know that you have faith, then you have to start focusing on eliminating the unbelief that dilutes and negates your faith. And there's not many Christians that have seen this point. And this is what I'm going to begin to talk about. The rest of this week, we're going to start showing you how your faith can be hindered by unbelief, where this unbelief comes from, how you deal with it, how you get rid of it, and how you purify your faith. Really, that's the point that Jesus is making. You don't need a big faith. You just need a pure faith. You need a faith that isn't hindered at all by any unbelief. Man, this is tremendous. This concept, if you can understand what I'm saying, would set you free and show you a path that you could go on that would strengthen your faith and help you to see full manifestation of God's will for your life. So I encourage you to listen tomorrow as we continue this teaching, and also this teaching that I've got on hardness of heart. It goes into much more detail on this, and I tell you, it would help you. You need to get this teaching. So please listen and respond as our announcer gives you this information.
Be sure to tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on hardness of heart. Andrew's classic teaching is available as a 4-part CD series or as a book. Request album R1003 or book number R303 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. The 4th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request TK59, titled The Cure, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
This is Andrew Womack, and I'd like to invite you to join me as a partner of our Gospel Truth ministry. You know, we are reaching the world not only through radio, but also television, DVDs, books, CDs, just every way that we possibly can. We have Bible schools scattered around the world. We are preaching the gospel literally around the world. Over 2.2 billion people can get our broadcast and our materials, and it just takes a lot of money to make all of that happen. So I'd like to invite you to join with me on a monthly basis as our partner. Our announcer is going to give you some information, and I encourage you to pray about it and then call or write today and become a partner with the Gospel Truth.